Now, before we get off track here and start thinking about these things happening in our day in Canada, I want us to ponder something that is closer to home. I want us to think and meditate upon finding satisfaction in our Lord Jesus. He made a number of claims, and the greatest, I think, is, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Now, I hope that you've come to church today because you have a spiritual hunger. I mentioned about normal physical bread. We've had some of that already today, most of us. Now it's time for the spiritual food. And so while you are perfectly fine as far as physical food goes and clothing and material things, we need God's house and we need the Bible and we need worship because there's a hunger in our souls.
Today again, we're on a mission for marriage between one man and one woman. And I want to talk about fidelity between husband and wife. There was a time when walking down a city street, the word fidelity was everywhere. Fidelity was all important in the music world, where true sound was the big thing. The recorded sound was said to be true to the voice of the singer or to the sound of the instrument. In the music world, fidelity means not distorted nor deceptive. The call to marriage is a call to fidelity. Nobody admires a two-timer. Fidelity to your spouse is everything in marriage. You may fail in other ways, but to betray your marriage vows makes you guilty of the serious crime of adultery. Fornication is to become physical with someone before marriage. Adultery takes place after marriage, when you become physically involved with another person apart from your husband or wife. Some may think that anything may go in a promiscuous society, but not with God. Let's look at some reasons we can be sure God calls out adultery and blesses fidelity in marriage between one man and one woman. Adultery is the breach of the seventh commandment. In that code of law given to Moses on Mount Sinai, God said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." The Ten Commandments are a summary of the law of God from the very nature of God. The seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," informs us that marriage between one man and one woman is God's fixed law of society. Adultery is right up there with idolatry, blasphemy, murder, stealing, lying, and coveting. Adultery is sin in the eyes of God. While God will judge all sin, including adultery, that scarlet sin, God will bless faithfulness in marriage. He says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." You'll find that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Intimacy between husbands and wives is the legitimate use of the natural desires of men and women. It is the expression of true love that builds up, while adultery destroys. Adultery destroys marriages. Like all sin, it is not only senseless, it is destructive. The book of Proverbs has numerous strong warnings for any who would let down their guard to pursue another man's wife. Let me read to you a few of these Proverbs. Chapter 2:16, God's wisdom is given to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And in chapter 5:3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. For why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? And then chapter 6:24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. And verse 26, for by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. And Proverbs 6:32 says, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. This is my point, that adultery is destructive. It will ruin the man who, in pursuit of a short-term thrill, will ruin his own marriage. But think of what it will do to your prayer life and your communion with God. You will live in fear of a Nathan appearing, saying, thou art the man. You will be found out as David was when he sinned with Bathsheba and sought to cover it up. David couldn't, neither will you. Think about this. The purity of your marriage is the foundation of your testimony as a Christian man or woman. Adultery has destroyed more men and women and wrecked more homes than we could ever count. Take heed, my friend. Flee this temptation and redouble your commitment to your own marriage. Adultery is the devil's tool. At first, the devil will minimize adultery. He will say it is nothing. And when the scarlet sin is committed, he will magnify it to the point where you can't even live with yourself. Remember that the devil is a liar and a destroyer, and adultery is one of his chief weapons to destroy you. Everyone is called to flee this hellish temptation of adultery and pray for full commitment to their own wife or husband. For these reasons, therefore, I appeal to you to let the welfare of your marriage be paramount in your Christian life. No matter what the world may think or say, marriage is between one man and one woman. That is God's order, and that will always have God's blessing. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. We're moving to John's Gospel, chapter 6, the words of the Lord Jesus, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but rather labor for the meat that endureth to everlasting life.
Back in John 6, and we learn here that after the feeding of the 5,000 and the miracle of multiplying those loaves and fishes, that crowds followed the Lord. At first, they wanted to make him king, in an earthly manner, and he avoided that, and even to the other side of Galilee, over to Capernaum, they were following after him. What an exciting time it must have been when multitudes that had witnessed already his miracles were now seemingly more and more interested in the Lord, that they would give up anything else they were doing and follow him even at a distance. I wonder, shall we ever see the like of it in Canada? Will we ever see crowds and multitudes interested in the Lord Jesus? Do you think it's possible? Will we ever see it in our lifetime? A time when there are more people than seats in the church? A time when there's more interest in the Son of God than there is in material things? But don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Because we're going to learn that these crowds were more interested in more food, more loaves and fish, than they were in the Savior. Now, before we get off track here and start thinking about these things happening in our day in Canada, I want us to ponder something that is closer to home. I want us to think and meditate upon finding satisfaction in our Lord Jesus. He made a number of claims, and the greatest, I think, is, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Now, I hope that you've come to church today because you have a spiritual hunger. I mentioned about normal physical bread. We've had some of that already today, most of us. Now it's time for the spiritual foot. And so while you are perfectly fine as far as physical food goes and clothing and material things, we need God's house and we need the Bible and we need worship because there's a hunger in our souls. That hunger is a powerful and it is a wonderful thing. Are you hungry today for the bread of life? I think there's a whole lot of malnourished, miserable Christians around, and they're living more a hollow life than they are a hallowed life. They're empty, famished. I want to meditate then on the Christian's true satisfaction in Christ. Last week we looked at our Lord as our sympathizer. Today, as our satisfier. Are you satisfied with your Lord Jesus? Do you draw daily satisfaction from Him, just as you feed the hunger of your stomach by physical bread? Do you feed the hunger of your soul by coming to the Lord Jesus, who is the bread of life? It was Augustine who said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till it rests in thee." That's how God has created us. That's how God has made us. And of course, if we're born again, there is a spiritual hunger. There is now a longing and a desire for more and more of the Lord Jesus in our lives. Now you might say, this is mysterious stuff. But then life is a mystery. Birth is a mystery. Personality is a mystery. Human experience is a mystery. Satan is a mystery. And here's another mystery we'll add to it. The spiritual hunger that you have in your soul. And of course, how the Lord Jesus is the bread that has been sent down from heaven. And my prayer is that you will be led today into greater satisfaction, a real personal satisfaction in the Lord Jesus. Will you follow along on this? Just give your mind and heart to meditate on the Lord here today. I notice, and I'm taking today verse 27 as the text. So let's read the text together. Our Lord Jesus said here, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed." I notice here a word of correction. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. It's a word of rebuke about overexcitement about material things, the things of the flesh. These disciples and the multitudes of people were overly impressed with those 12 baskets, the food that was remaining over, the physical food. They were willing to cross or get around Galilee and come to Capernaum for more. And the Lord rebuked them. And He said, "Labor not for the meat that perisheth." We need to be rebuked as well, even as Christians, over our overexcitement about satisfying the physical cravings of the flesh. Well, that's a tendency we have. We're in the flesh. And yes, we like to be pampered. We like the good things of this world. And there are many that get so excited about them, and indeed overexcited about them, that they neglect the thing that's important. I noted last week in news clips after the World Cup was all over, and I didn't watch it on the Lord's Day, and I noticed this later, the frenzy, the absolute frenzy. There were masses of people in the streets shouting, screaming, sweating, craziness reigning, and it's all over. And the Lord said, "Labor not for the meat that perisheth." There are people that get so excited about things that are temporary. And the reality is we're all guilty. Not of the same things, not to the same extent, but we're guilty of getting our priorities wrong. There are those who use alcohol and drugs as stimuli to get excitement in their lives. They turn to those things. Others to material riches, various pleasures, and they run after them with great excitement. And the Lord says, He rebukes us, labor not for the meat that perisheth. But there's a double rebuke here. There's two rebukes in one here. And I must say that I missed this. I missed it until I did a little more homework, and then it dawned on me. It came to light. Not only did the Lord rebuke them for laboring with overexcitement about material things that perish, but if you look at the construction of the text, it says, verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. We are to get excited about the real food. We are to be stirred up about the things that concern our souls. And there lies the problem. We get our priorities wrong. We get excited about the temporal, the things that perish, and we're dull and lazy about the things that are really important, the spiritual and the eternal. And we are to labor. We're to labor, it says. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life. And we're to expend our strength and our effort, feeding our souls and attending to the spiritual needs of our lives. And because we're so inclined to the physical, feeding the body, putting food on the table, feeding a family, paying our bills, doing those things that are temporary, we get caught up in them, that we're guilty of getting our priorities all wrong. And I need that word of rebuke. We all need this word of rebuke. We need to be corrected and get this straightened out. And you know and I know there are people and they wear themselves out over material things. They just wear themselves out. They fret and they worry and they go without sleep. They injure their health because of overexcitement, overattention about the meat that perisheth. And then many wouldn't cross the road to come to a gospel church to feed their soul. That's the tragedy. That's the issue. And of course, the excuses are so many. Well, church is too early for me. It's too early. It's too far. It takes too long. And I may not find the seat that I like. Someone else might take it. And they'll say, well, I've been there before and I've heard it all before. You see, priorities are wrong. And while the same people will cross the oceans about material things, they wouldn't cross the road to see to their soul. Now, I think we have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, you've hit the nail on the head. It's true, and I'm guilty. I feel to get my priorities right. And I accept, Lord, the rebuke that all I'm really, really interested in is the material. Well, I ought to be seeking that bread which is from heaven, the bread that satisfies the soul. Now, will you just, in honesty before God, take the word of correction and say, Lord, will you help me just to put this right, my attitudes, my priorities, and I need to labor to feed my soul, that I might be satisfied in Christ. You see, there are so many professing Christians who are not satisfied. That's what this addresses. There are many people who take the name of Jesus upon their lips, and they're not satisfied. They're still running after the world, and they're not attending to spiritual things. Now, that brings us to the Lord's word of satisfaction. If you move on in verse 27, You'll notice he says that, but that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Now, that food, the word meat here is food, by the way. It's not animal flesh. It's food of any kind. And there is this food which endureth unto everlasting life. Now, this, of course, was the Lord's life on earth, who came from heaven as the bread of heaven for our souls. And I have to ask myself, am I satisfied with my Savior? Am I really satisfied? I'm a professing Christian. I tell others that I have made my only hope for heaven to be the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. I believe in certain doctrines of Him, but the question is, am I satisfied with my Lord Jesus? And I can only answer for myself here today and say, yes, I am. I am satisfied with my Lord Jesus. And I'm satisfied that He came from heaven. If you look at verse 33, he says, for the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven. And I'm satisfied with that. I know that my Lord is divine. He is not of this world. He was not a sinful man. He was not the son of Adam. He came from above. You'll see in verse 27 at the end, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Now, a seal in biblical times was sometimes the king's ring dipped in the wax, and the wax stamped onto a document or an envelope that could not be opened until the proper recipient opened it, and it was therefore marked as from the king. Our Lord Jesus has been sealed by the Father. He's authentic. He came from the Father. Divinity has been stamped upon His whole life. His words were divine. His works were miraculous. His resurrection was miraculous. Everything about the Lord Jesus tells us that He is not of this world. He came from heaven. And I'm satisfied with that. I take great delight that my Lord Jesus is bread from heaven. Now, in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves. You see, many use religion and Christianity for their material ends, and they never enjoy a morsel of real gospel satisfaction in their souls. They're always busy with the material, the physical bread. And I have to search my heart. Am I only interested in the material, or am I truly, really resting in the greatness of my Lord? Am I satisfied with Him? I can truly say, I can honestly say, I am satisfied. I know my Lord Jesus came from heaven for me. But you know, we have to meditate on this to get the sweetness of the blessing. We need to find satisfaction in the great person and the truths of our Lord Jesus. Now, I was out in the garden yesterday and I was doing some watering. And while I was watering, there was this huge bumblebee came along. And God sent that bumblebee to teach me a lesson, to show me something that I needed to learn. And I watered and I watched that bumblebee at work. And he went from flower to flower. Now, I sowed this packet of wild flower seeds earlier in the season. And you talk about wild flowers. They're wild. They're all colors, shapes, and sizes. Mixed flower seed. And there's this particular blue flower that this bumblebee was interested in. And he went from each flower petal, and he, with his long nose dipped in, And you could see him working systematically, one after the other, sucking out the nectar for whatever purposes he had in mind, to sustain itself or another, whatever. But it was busy. Talk about a busy bee. Now, you ask that bee, are you satisfied? I tell you, that bee was finding satisfaction. And we as Christians, who make great profession of who our Lord Jesus is, we need to learn how to meditate. We need to be busy bees in the truths and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. You remember how Paul prayed that prayer that we dwelt on earlier at the beginning. He talked about that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. Paul prayed for that. He yearned for that in the hearts of God's people. And here is how it happens. You see, we have this great store of the grace of our Lord Jesus, but we need to labor for the meat that endureth to everlasting life. We need to be busy bee Christians. We need to be drawing in, enjoying the reality of the Lord whom we love and serve.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church, and this is Ian Gollaher. I hope that today that this message has come to your heart with freshness and with joy, and if we can be of any personal help, that you'll be in touch with us here at Let the Bible Speak, that you'll give us a phone call, that you'll be in touch through our website, and all of those details are coming up now in the closing announcements. It is a joy to minister the Lord's Word, and I trust that this message on the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus to make us satisfied Christians, and I hope that you are today a satisfied believer in all the grace of the Lord Jesus. Now, please join us again for our message next time as we continue part two of this message, Are You a Satisfied Christian? This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and you're listening to Let the Bible Speak. I hope you've been blessed today through the ministry of God's Word. I'd also be delighted to talk with you. My personal phone number is 604-897-2040. Please call to let me know that you're listening, and we can open the Bible and pray together. For all the information about our radio ministry in Canada, and our churches in Buffalo, Scarborough, Port Hope, and Barrie, please go to ltbs.ca. If you have been blessed today, please kindly consider helping us to cover the cost of airtime. Your gift, large or small, will make the difference. You can donate online at ltbs.ca or by mail. Our mailing address is LTBS 18790, 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. My phone number again is 604-897-2040. And remember to join us again at this time next week on this station as we let the Bible speak.